Good morning, welcome back to Yad Nachyami. This morning I'd like to dedicate the learning for Refuah Shlema, Refuah Tovia ben Rivka, a Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Sifras, who is currently in a critical state, and Mitzvah Hashem, our learning to this morning should be Refuah Shlema for him. Let's learn this morning about Perek Yud Beis in Sefer Shmuel Beis. So we're now following directly on the footsteps of David HaMelech's sin, and the discussion that happens in Perek Yud Aleph regarding Bathsheba. Now, a interesting event occurs. Nasan HaNavi comes to David HaMelech and presents David HaMelech with what seems like a legal case. He says, here's the story. There's two people who live in one city. One's very rich, one's very poor. The person who is rich has many cattle, many flocks, and the person who is poor only has one small little lamb. And this poor man bought this lamb, lives with it. It's the sustenance for his whole family. It lives in his house. They all sleep together in one bed, the whole family for warmth, and it's literally like a child to him. In the meantime, a guest comes to the rich man's house, and the rich person decides that he wants to feed the guest. So he goes and he takes the lamb of the poor person and slaughters it and gives it to the guest, to the ish, to the man. And David HaMelech, immediately hearing this case, gets very angry, and he proclaims immediately, Ben Moves HaYishai, anybody who does this is liable for death, and in fact he should pay up four times the amount of that lamb for doing this terrible thing, and he did not have mercy on this poor, poor man. And Nasan Navi turns around and says, in the most terrifying words we could ever hear in our lives, Atah HaYish, you're the person. You've just decried, and in a certain sense, you have just declared your own guilt. Because this is what's going to happen to you, David HaMelech. Because I saved you, says Hashem, from Sheol. I put you in the place of your master, and I brought you all through all these situations. Why did you despise Hashem? Why did you allow Uriah to die and take his wife? Why did you allow him to die in the hands of Ammon? Because of this, you will always have a sword against your house forever, because you disgraced me through this incident. Wow, what a very strong statement. And then Nasan HaNavi continues to say, I'm going to bring about in your house negativity or evil is going to arise from your own house. Your wives are going to be taken from you in broad daylight and abused by this being, by this entity. And you're going to have to run away in silence, and you're going to be a refugee from this individual who's going to get up from your own house. David HaMelech turns to Nasan and he says the simple words, Chatasi LaHashem, I sinned to God. And Nasan says to David, you know what? Because you admitted, Hashem says has removed your sin, you're not going to die, but Hashem has brought you a curse upon you, and your son is going to die. In the meantime, what happens is the son who's been born to Bathsheba and David through that union, originally when she was at the point when Uriah was still alive, so Hashem makes the child very sick, and David HaMelech gets into this terrible, crippled state. He gets onto the floor and he's crying to Hashem. Nobody can rouse him from the floor. He's praying, he's begging Hashem not to kill this child. 7 days later, the child dies. Immediately when he dies, the people are too scared to tell David what happened, because David's in such a paralyzed state that they're terrified this will throw him over the edge. When David HaMelech sees them whispering, he says, oh, is he dead? And they say, he's dead. And David HaMelech immediately gets up off the floor, and he goes and washes himself, changes his clothes, and comes to the house of Hashem and bows down. And they said to him, David HaMelech, what's going on? You know, before when he was sick, you were in such a state. Now that he's dead, you no longer. So David HaMelech said, yeah, well, when he was sick, there was an opportunity to change things. Now that he's dead, there's nothing I can really change. I can't bring him back anymore. And David HaMelech went back to his wife, Bathsheba, to comfort her. Remember, she's lost her husband, and now she's lost her child. And they have a relationship, and from that relationship, from that union, is born a child who he calls Shlomo. Hashem loves this child, and he is called also, he is also called Yedidya, the precious one of Hashem, the dear one of Hashem. Finally, the Perek concludes with a final war against Rabbas ben Ammon. Remember, we're in the middle of this battle in the east, where Ammon has taken this terrible, aggressive stance against Israel, and Moab sends Malachim that they've conquered the major city. They take the crown of the king and bring it to David. And with this, it ends the end of this conflict and war. Now, there's a few things to think about in this perek. There's actually a lot to think about in this perek. Number one is that it sounds like that when Nosson is giving this parable, isn't that he's just trying to trap David in this particular case? He's trying to teach him something as well. So the Mefarshim point out that if you look very carefully into that description, the rich man is trying to serve this guest. So if you look at the pronouns, there's actually three ways of describing him. Number one, Vayavor Helech, this passerby comes in. And the owner wants to give to this guest, so he turns from a passerby to a guest. And finally, when he slaughters that sheep, he gives it to the ish, to the man, to the person who lives there. Which means to say that what the Mefarshim describe in the levels of Musar, in self-growth, what's really going on over here is the transformation of what started off as the Yetzer Hara, just a fleeting, it was a passerby, or maybe I'll just look at her. And then it turned into, well, it's actually a guest. That feeling is a guest now, and then the feeling becomes a resident. What the Nosson HaNavi is telling David HaMelech is, watch very carefully about the trajectory of your feelings and how those impulses work within you. David HaMelech immediately says, well, that he should pay four up for the amount of the lamb that he took. Now, this happens to be a din Torah, a law in the Torah, that a person may have to pay four or five if they steal a sheep or a goat from another person and slaughters it. That is Torah law. That was in Parshas Mishpatim. However, the Mefarshim point out, Rashi, Ralbag, everybody points out that really what's going on over here is actually a premonition. David HaMelech has now declared essentially death on four. Who are those four? We're going to see soon Amnon, Tamar, Avshalom, and this child who has just been born. There are going to be four people who are going to be a direct outcome of David HaMelech's proclamation over here, unfortunately. It does seem, though, that the Ralbag points out that nonetheless, David HaMelech is acquitted of what he does decree as well, which is immediate death on himself. David HaMelech says that person should die. So when David HaMelech admits, Nosson HaNavi says, don't worry, you're not going to die yourself. It's the rest of the punishment is going to come as well, though. It is interesting that when you think about this and you compare David HaMelech's sin and Shaul HaMelech's sin, you know, Shaul HaMelech doesn't kill Agag immediately, and David HaMelech, you know, has this very complex relationship with Bathsheba and killing Uriah and the whole business. And you think to yourself, like, you know, who was worse off? You know, like, who committed the worst sin? And, like, you wonder, why is that Shaul, like, sort of lost his monarchy, died in battle? I mean, like, why? Why was David HaMelech treated so, you know, he had terrible, terrible suffering, but he still maintained his kingship, he still had his destiny and his legacy. Why the difference? And I think the simple answer is that when David HaMelech was confronted with his guilt, the first word he said is, Chatasi, I sinned. Shaul did not say that. Shaul justified and rationalized. David HaMelech immediately admitted it, which is why he actually was zeicher to life. When you come back to the description of Shlomo over here, it's interesting that they call two names, Shlomo and Yedidia. The Radak points out that that's because Hashem is in fact calling him Shlomo. Hashem knows that in the reign of Shlomo is going to be a peaceful era in the times of Israel. So Hashem calls him Shlomo. And when David sees that Hashem is at peace with him, David HaMelech says, Yedidka, he's the dear one of God. At the end of the parash, at the end of this perek, it is interesting that David HaMelech, when dealing with the Ammonites, when he finally breaks through in their major city, it says that he actually tortures them. It says Vayosem Hamaygera Bacharzina Abarzel Migros Migzoros Abarzel, that he uses iron to torture these people and killing them in a painful way. And you ask yourself, is that really the Jewish way? This is really the way things work? And the Ralbag, trying to address this, says that this was a precedent, because remember, David HaMelech had offered a peace to Ammon. He'd sent a delegation, and Ammon was the one who started this war. David HaMelech wanted to make a very clear deterrence over here for any other future nations who would treat them in such a way. And this is the way David HaMelech set it up. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.